الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كلا إن الإنسان ليطغى أن رآه استغنى إن إلى ربك الرجعى أرأيت الذي ينهى عبدا إذا صلى أرأيت إن كان على الهدى أو أمر بالتقوى أرأيت إن كذب وتولى ألم يعلم بأن الله يرى كلا لئن لم ينته لنسفعا بالناصية ناصية كاذبة خاطئة فليدع نادية سندع الزبانية كلا لا تطعه واسجد واقترب. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest of all, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again reminding ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us that we have been blessed with the honor of learning about the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. In the previous session, we spoke about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining that there are certain people, there are a group of people who think that they are independent. And we went on to explain how this is factually, technically, logically incorrect. From all angles, how this group of people can be no more wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to address the same group of people by saying, "Inna ila rabbika ruj'a." Verily, the return is to your Lord. Now, the ulama have come to two explanations here. One possible explanation is that here the apparent meaning is meant, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that after we die, we are going to be facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is at this point that every single human being will be questioned. And in this particular context, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting this fact to the oppressors, the tyrants, the sinners who have been addressed earlier in this chapter, that today you think you are independent. Today you act the acts of tyranny. Today you oppress people based on your illusion based on this misconception that you are independent, you are all powerful. But tomorrow you will be brought in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and justice will be served. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from being from the zalimeen, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of the mazlumeen. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. The second meaning is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and is very closely connected to the first meaning, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing those people who are living. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning them that take heed, tomorrow you will be facing me, so watch your actions today. Ensure that tomorrow when you are standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have not acted the acts of tyranny and you have not carried out dhulm and oppression on the people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Moving on in the next verses, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى. So the next, from verses number 9 to number 13, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is directly addressing the shani nuzul. Now we mentioned in the previous sessions, and inshallah we'll quickly go over it, that the shani nuzul, the story behind the revelation of these verses, was that the great enemy of Islam, Abu Jahl, one day he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam performing salah in the haram. And he addressed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he said to him that if I see you performing salah here again, you got to understand that the haram was like the center of everything. It was the community center. It was the parliament house. This is where all the leaders met. This is where the mashwara would take. This is where everything would happen. So it was a very central point of Mecca. And Abu Jahl said to our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that, O Muhammad, if I see you praying salah here again, I will stamp on your neck. وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam simply ignored him and instead he rebuked him. So Abu Jahl, the next time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was praying salah, Abu Jahl advanced to carry out this disgusting deed. However, he immediately stopped and he started to turn away, and it looked like he was fleeing and he was running away from something. When he was asked about this, he said that in front of me I saw a trench and it was full of fire, and I saw some very scary beings inside this fire. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam heard about this, he said those were the angels. If he had stepped closer, they would have ripped him bone from bone, shred to shred, they would have ripped him apart. And so this is the story behind this. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing this directly. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى. Do you see the one? Do you see the one who prevents? عَبْدًا إِذَا صَلَّى. Who prevents the servant when he prays. So here, this أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي. So before this Hamza we have at the very beginning of the verse, this in Arabic is used for questioning. So that normally araita would mean that have you seen. However, this is not a proper question. This is a rhetorical question. The purpose of this is not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, have you seen? Of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the subject of this incident. The question here is a rhetorical one. And the actual point is that there's no need for an answer here. Allah is saying that, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing the attention of the listener to this scene. Now look, can you see the person who is stopping the servant from praying? Now, in the next few verses, this word, أَرَأَيْتَ, 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 it comes three times. And the tone of this is to express amazement and wonder and ta'ajjub that for the first part, how can somebody stop somebody else from worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That in itself is a deplorable and very reprehensible action. That what is he doing? What harm is he causing anybody? What's the problem? He is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does he want? He simply wants to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. And he wants to gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is not harming anybody. He is not, you know, attacking anybody. He's not abusing anybody. He's just praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how can, and this is not just something within Islam, but it's a universal acceptable rule that whenever somebody is worshipping their God, whichever God it may be, you should not stop them. Let them do what they want to do. And this is something that's universally accepted. That when somebody is worshipping, to attack them, you know, many years ago, we had an incident in a few Ramzans ago, where in Al-Aqsa, the Fajr Salah was taking place, and the Zionists came inside and they attacked the people whilst they were praying Salah. It's a reprehensible action. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting the fact that simply the abdan idha salla, the servant is praying. He's praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the issue with this? He's not harming anybody. He's not abusing anybody. So this ara'aita is out of wonder. That look what's happening here. A person is stopping another person from worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another point is that in this particular verse, Abu Jahl is stopping Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from personal benefit. Whereas the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's salah and all his worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the underlying worry and concern of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the entire ummah. And he had this concern for the entire ummah throughout his life. But the ulama write that in this first action, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is only benefiting himself. So he's saying that Abu Jahl is trying to stop Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from benefiting himself. Then in the next verse, Ara'aita, again, Ara'aita in kana ala al-huda, tell me, what if he is on the guidance, aw amara bit-taqwa, or he commands people to adopt piety. Now the ulama write over here, that in the second action here, two qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have been mentioned. The first quality is that he is under guidance. The second quality is that not only is he under guidance himself, but he wants other people to also come under the guidance. The ulama write that Abu Jahl here in the first instant, he wanted to stop Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from personal benefit. In the second sentence, he not only wants to stop Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from gaining proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he wants to stop the entire ummah from benefiting from the advent and the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wanted to stop the entire ummah from gaining proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which in itself is even more reprehensible and even a greater act of culpability. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Moving on. Ara'aita in kadhaba wa tawalla. Tell me, in kadhaba wa tawalla, what if he rejects and turns away? Here, alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Do they not know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching? So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he is talking about Abu Jahl. In kadhaba wa tawalla, what if he turns away and he rejects? Yani Abu Jahl had turned away from the call of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he rejected the call of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alam ya'lam bi anna Allah yara. Do they not know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching? Now here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept the act of watching generic, which means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that yes, Allah is watching everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching Abu Jahl trying to stop him from praying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching everything. Today, on that day in Makkah al-Mukarramah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was watching. And today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching here, now, everywhere, today, tomorrow, till the future. It is a message to not only Abu Jahl, and it is a message to not only the nation of humanity, but it is a message to the entire nation of humanity from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till the time of Qiyamah, that look, a Muslimano, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. So look at the lessons of this surah. Look at the lessons of this surah. Look at Abu Jahl. Look what he did. Stay away from the acts, these kind of acts of tyranny, these kind of acts of abuse and oppression. And look, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given prophethood and he was given nabuwa. Understand that this is the truth and do your best to follow. Why? بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with tawfiq. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Amazing thing here, in this series of verses from verse 9 till 13, I have simply given the interpretation of some of the scholars. However, the different scholars like Imam Jalaluddin Mahalli rahimahullah, the co-author of the famous book of Tafsir Jalalain, which is generally studied in the madrasas, and Imam Baghawi and many other scholars, they all have very different interpretations. In the interpretation that I have come with today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the first and the last ara'aita. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whilst in the middle ara'aita in kadhaba wa tawalla, ara'aita in kana ala al-huda, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing Abu Jahl. However, there are many other interpretations from different a'imma, from min a'imma tafsir, from the imams of tafsir. They have come with many, many different interpretations, and they have delved into the grammar and the meanings, and they have taken out many different meanings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the knowledge of the Quran. But there is no time to go into these today. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كَلَّا لَإِنْ لَمْ يَنْتَهِ لَنَسْفَعًا بِالنَّاصِيَةِ نَاصِيَةٍ كَاذِبَةٍ خَاطِئَةٍ. Now, كَلَّا means most definitely not. يعني, most definitely not, he should not do this. يعني, who? Abu Jahl. And what should he not do? He should not, الَّذِي يَنْهَى عَبْدًا إِذَا صَلَّى. He should not stop the servant from praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from carrying out his salah. He should not turn away. أَرَأَيْتَ إِن كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى. He should not turn away and he should not reject the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another message to mankind, the O Muslimano, when somebody is praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should not reject, you should not stop them. And likewise, you should not, when you hear the call of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you hear the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you hear a person admonishing you for doing something wrong, you should not reject and turn away. You should accept and listen and obey. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. لَإِن لَمْ يَنْتَ. No, we have something called shart and jaza. You know, when you say to someone, if, you know, like a parent says to a child, if you don't do this, then this will happen. You know, like for example, if you don't eat your food, then you won't get sweets. You know, like you say to a bachche ko kehte hai na, when you say to a child, if you don't eat your food, you won't get sweets. Or you say to a student, that if you don't do your prayer sabak correctly, then you will get detention. Like, this is called shart and jaza in Arabic. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using shart and jaza. Other scholars have interpreted as qasam and jawabi qasam. لَإِن لَمْ يَنْتَ. If he does not desist, yani, if Abu Jahl does not stop preventing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from praying and oppressing and abusing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La illam yanta, most definitely, if he does not desist, la nasfa'an bin nasir. See, this lamb over here is for emphasis. La nasfa'an bin nasir. And this word here, la nasfa'an, comes from the word safa', which means to drag. La nasfa'an bin nasir. We will drag him. We will drag, yani drag Abu Jahl bin Nasir with his forelock hair. This hair at the front of the forehead, the very front hairs. This is called the Nasir. The Nasir hairs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if he does not stop in what he is doing, we will drag him from his forelock hairs. Now, why has this been mentioned? Some ulama have gave the reasoning that when you take control of somebody's forelock hairs, if you manage to capture this area of someone and you manage to drag them, you gain total control over them. Because they can't do anything. The pain from the hairs being dragged and then being dragged along, there's not much that they can do to defend themselves. So this is, some ulama have given this interpretation. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned Nasir, the forelock hairs. Nasiyatin kathibatin khatiya. The lying sinful forelock hairs. Now, here this lying sinful forelock hairs is not hakiki, it's majazi. Yani, it's not reality, it's metaphorical. Meaning that Nasiyatin over here refers to the entire being of Abu Jahl rather than just his front hairs. And he's saying that Abu Nasiya, Nasiya to Abi Jahlin. Yani the forelock hairs of Abu Jahl, and in turn it's explaining that Nasiya here refers to Abu Jahl himself. Kadhibatin, the liar in his kalam. Yani the fact that he claimed that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was wrong. And he disbelieved in him. So he is a kadhib in this sense. He is a liar. Khati'a, sinful. Sinful in that, in kadhaba wa tawalla, he disbelieved in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa tawalla, he turned away. This is all sins. Abda yanha abdan idha salla. He stopped Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from praying. This is also khati'a, sinful. So here Abu Jahl has been described as a liar and a sinner. فَلْيَدْعُوا نَادِيَا. Let him call his followers, let him call his people. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is again directly addressing the claim of Abu Jahl. He says in the riwayah, in the hadith, he says that when Abu Jahl said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that, O Muhammad, if I see you again praying salah here, you know, na'udhu billah, he said, I will stomp on your neck. And Rasulullah, you mentioned earlier that Rasulullah ignored him, he rebuked him, you know. So Abu Jahl, he could not take this. And he said, you know, O Muhammad, what makes you threaten me? Do you know who I am? I have the biggest following in Makkah. I have the greatest group of people behind me. What are you going to do? Yeah, you're threatening me, and you come against me, I've got all of these people. The fact of the matter is that this person, Abu Jahl, and people like him, people of this category, they think that power lies in the numbers. And they think that power lies in the weaponry of the world. They think that power lies in wealth. They think that power lies in influence. They think that power lies in followers. This is a gross misconception. And it's a great mistake to make. We have already highlighted in this surah that those people who think that they are independent, those people who think that they are powerful based on their wealth, know that nobody is independent and everybody is powerless. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is powerful. The fact of the matter is that these people, they think that power lies in the items and the materialistic world. But the reality is that power lies in one's relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on his side, we look at the hadith of Qudsi. That in the hadith of Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hadith of Qudsi is the kalam of Allah that is not in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to harm someone, the entire world can get together and try to stop this person from coming to harm, and they will not be able to protect him. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to protect someone, the entire world, the entire humanity, the entire creation can get together to try and protect this person. But they will not be able to protect him. Because the true power is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that he's threatening you with his people. He's threatening you with his people. Let him call his people. فَلْيَدْعُ نَادِيَ. Let him call his people. نَادِيَ. نَادَ يُنَادِي means to call. And نَادِيَ, it actually means the place where the people gather. The people of the parliament, the council, they gather. So Abu Jahl was saying that all of these people, they are with me, they are on my side. I am the Sardar, I am the leader of Makkah. And you're threatening me? How can you have the audacity to do that? Because he just couldn't understand that how can someone disrespect me? He didn't understand that there was something, a greater power beyond that which was just with him. He did not accept the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or conform to the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he started to threaten Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in return says, فَلْيَدْعُ نَادِيَا. Let him call his people. سَنَدْعُ الزَّبَانِيَا. We will call the Zabaniya. Who are the Zabaniya? The Zabaniya, ulama explained that the Zabaniya are, the word actually comes, is a plural of the word Zabn or Zabaniya. And it means to destroy. And it is a reference to the angels of Jahannam. And also a reference to the creation that Abu Jahl saw in the pit of fire. There were also the Zabaniya, like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained later. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if he wants to call his people, فَلْيَدْعُ نَادِيَا, let him call his people. سَنَدْعُ الزَّبَانِيَا, we will call the Zabaniya. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, he says that truthfully, if he had actually gone ahead and had the audacity to war against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, firstly there was only going to be one winner. But truly, if he had actually gone and called the people of Makkah and, you know, tried to attack Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have actually sent down the angels of Jahannam and they would have destroyed them there and then. Needless to say, later on we find that these people, Abu Jahl and Umayyah bin Khalf and many other enemies of Islam, Abu Lahab, etc., they fell to the baddu'a of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In another story, inshallah, when the time comes for that story, we will mention that hadith. Later they were all destroyed, the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is talking about this very moment, that if he had gone and called his people against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have sent down the angels of Jahannam and they would have destroyed them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from Jahannam and his punishment and his anger, and bless us with his rida and his happiness and the sunnah and the understanding of the Quran. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. And finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kalla, most definitely not. Ya'ni, that most definitely not, he will not. Ya'ni, most definitely not, Abu Jahl will not call his people. And he will not do this. La tuti'hu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly. And he's saying, O Muhammad, la tuti'hu. Don't obey him. Don't listen to him. Don't become despondent, and don't become affected by his words. La tuti'hu, don't listen to him. You continue praying your salah and you continue gaining proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La tuti'hu, don't obey him. Wasjud, and do sajda waqtarib and gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can also take another message from this for ourselves, that times when we are acting upon the sunnah and when we are carrying out the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of our deen, sometimes instances may happen where we are ridiculed and we are people, they mock us. Here there's another message for us directly. La tuti'hu. Don't listen to them. You continue praying your salah. If people, mock you, you are at work or wherever it is, at school or college, university, and you take time out to pray your salah and people, why are you praying salah here for? Go home. No, la tuti'hu. Don't listen to them. Wasjud and do sajda and gain waqtarib, gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to a majority of the scholars, here sajda means to pray salah generally. And then there's another ruling here also, that when we recite this verse, or we hear someone reciting this verse, then we should also do sajda. It's wajib upon us to make sajda. This is not the only place in the Quran. There are many other places, 14 in total, where sajda becomes wajib upon the hearing or the recitation of certain verses. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. And finally, a few mas'alas that we can discuss. In one hadith, Abi Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala an anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, aqrabu ma yakunu al-'abdu min rabbih wa huwa sajidun fa akthiru ad-du'a. Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that the closest a person is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is whilst he is in sajda. فَأَكْثِرُ الدُّعَاء. So make dua in abundance in sajda. This hadith is in Sahih Muslim in Kitab al-Salah. So there is a ruling here that when we are praying nafil salah and we are in sajda, then we can make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sajda. However, these duas, they have to be from the Quran or the hadith. They cannot be made up like regardless whether they are in a different language or whether they're in Arabic. You're not allowed to. You have to pray those du'as, those supplications that are found in the Quran and hadith. Like for example, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana, is in the Quran, Rabbana hablana min azwajina. Except you can't say, Ya Allah, Allahumma, like in the kitab they say, Allahumma zawijni fulana, oh Allah, I want to marry a certain person, make me marry this person, etc. Or, Ya Allah, I want this certain type of food. Or you can't make, there's no man-made du'as. The du'as that we are allowed to pray in salah are only the ones that are found in the Quran or the hadith. So that's one ruling. And also the fact that we are closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst we are in sajda. So we should, when we are praying nafil salawat, we should try our best to lengthen our sajda and to increase in our supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ramadan, the beloved and blessed old friend, our beloved Ramadan is coming very, 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 very soon. Just a few days away. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to reach Ramadan. And whilst we are in Ramadan, we pray that Allah give us tawfiq to pray plenty of nafil salah, and we can put this into action and put this into amal whilst we are praying nafil salawat. Besides that, in fard salah, it's not permissible to do this. Obviously, first of all, we should be praying the fard salah with jama'ah. And in fard salah, ikhtisar, and to make the salah short is better. And in nafil, to make the salah longer is what is prescribed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Regarding the sajda, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال سجدنا مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في إذا السماء انشقت وإقرأ باسم ربك. This hadith is also in Sahih Muslim, hadith number 578. Abu هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه says that we made sajda with Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم in the chapters of Surah Al-Inshiqaq and Surah Al-Alaq. And so likewise, the Ramadan will be coming and we will also be observing the Taraweeh prayers and inshallah we will manage to complete all 14 sajdas in the Holy Quran. We should also, Ramadan is the month of the Quran. The Quran, as we mentioned previously, the Quran was revealed in this holy month. And every year, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite the Quran to Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam. They would do, you know, like the Hufaz, they pray to each other. So praying the, completing the Quran is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Completing the Quran in Ramadan is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the year, the final Ramadan of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam completed the Quran twice with Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam. So we should also, besides the khatam that we will have in the Taraweeh prayer, we should also try our very, very, very best to, according to everybody's ability, to try at least to pray, complete one khatam during this blessed month. You know, our respected elders and our scholars, they mentioned that from the, you know, the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray the dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. And so from Rajab, the preparation for Ramadan would start. And by 15th of Sha'ban, we should make it that we should act as if we are already in Ramadan. So by the time the first of Ramadan comes, we are already in the mode of praying maximum Quran. What happens with us is that, yeah, 15th Sha'ban, yeah, it's still 2 weeks left, aram karo, you know. And then, you know, Ramadan, few more days left, relax a bit. And then Ramadan comes, and then, you know, by the time you've got into Ramadan, half of Ramadan gone already. And then towards the last Ashura, we start to really start praying. And then after that, Eid is here, and the whole of Ramadan is gone, and we have wasted ourselves away. May Allah protect us from wasting our time. And so our scholars and our elders, they say that start from now. If we haven't already started, start maximizing our recitation of the Holy Quran. And if we can, then try to fast as well, and our azkar and tilawat, and staying away from sin. And then inshallah, by the time Ramadan comes, we'll be ready, we'll be flying. And, you know, by the time Eid comes, inshallah, we will have gone into the mercy and the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do amal. Finally, we have finished Surah Al-Alaq after many, many weeks. Inshallah, next week, if there is no Taraweeh, then the tafsir will take place. However, if there is Taraweeh, then the tafsir will not take place. And then inshallah, we will continue after the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to do amal and everything that has been said. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true love for the Holy Quran, for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true understanding and give us true knowledge and the light of the Quran in our hearts. Ameen, ameen, ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Quran an intercessor for us on the day of Qiyamah, the day in which the Quran's intercession will help us. Ameen, ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
جی 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 और कहा कि उसके डेड बॉडी किधर समंदर में
सी
उसी
जी जी
उसी
जी जी जी
नॉट कवर
Was on the receiver.